about something that you don't hear very much of, and it's loneliness. It's the most devastating disease, I believe, in our society. And it hits a lot of people. A passage of scripture, it's hard to find, but 1 Kings, Bill, that's in the Old Testament. I don't know exactly how many Bibles it is, books it is over, but 1 Kings 19, and I'm just going to read verse 10. It's a story of Elijah. He's he's had many victories in Christ, and he's had these victories, and old Jezebel, you know, she's sends out a messenger to Elijah saying she's going to kill him, and man, he goes and hides, and in verse 10, he says, "So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." I can see the loneliness there in his life. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for these that have come back in your house and our young people in the other building. Lord, we just thank you for them. And Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to work in the life of this church. And God, we will give you the praise, for it's all you and nothing of us. I thank you for that fellowship that we have. And Lord, it's a beautiful fellowship. And we give you all the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Loneliness in the lives of the children, I see that, whose parents are have been divorced. I hear that all the time. There's a loneliness for those children. There's a loneliness in the life of the parents whose child has been taken by drugs and by alcohol, and we see it on television every day, or even suicide. There's loneliness in those lives. And then there's loneliness in the heart of the socialite who is surrounded by all the glamour and the glitter of the world that the world demands them to be. And the loneliness is caused many times by the death of a loved one. Loneliness is caused by children not caring for their parents, or parents not caring for their children. And I see it in the eyes of those that, since my mother is in the nursing home now, or care home, whatever you want to call it, I see the loneliness in those people's eyes that do not have children to come by and see them. Oh, it's devastating, and you want to do something about it, but you just can't do everything, you know. And I see that all the time, not only in my mother's case, but in cases here in our own church of a father or a mother that's at home alone, and children never come by, never call. And I thank God for those that call their parents and talk to them at least, you know, once a week or better. But loneliness in the Christian servants is the Christian servant's greatest enemy. And I think you see that in Elijah's life. Temptations are greater when someone is alone and feels like they are all alone in the ministry. And tonight I want us to look at how we escape those lonely times in our lives. And I put together some things here that I recommend to people, and I believe if you can only do these things and understand these things, that loneliness will it will help in a mighty way. First thing we need to understand is there's a difference between loneliness and solitude. Now, a lot of us like to be in solitude, but there's another thing for us to be alone and lonely. I happen to know people that are alone, and they're perfectly happy in that loneliness or that being alone. In fact, solitude is helpful in many conditions. We need some quiet time and some time to be alone. But feeling alone and all by yourself is a devastating experience in people's lives, and many people are surrounded by people, and yet there's still that loneliness in their heart. Now, if you look at this story here of Elijah, you see some conditions that lead to loneliness. And as you look at the story of Elijah, we see that 90% of loneliness, I believe, is self-pity. Self-pity. And here is a man of God, a man who has walked with God, a man who has God's power demonstrated in his life in a marvelous way. You remember on Mount Carmel, he had won a great, great victory for the Lord. And a man who has stood up against the king and queen of Ahab and Jezebel, and who has stopped the rain at his command. And this man is a man who God had literally used and taken care of during a drought. This man who has raised a widow's son from death, but now in his condition, he finds himself out under a broom tree, wallowing in self-pity. And we might ask ourselves, how in the world can you go from a victory like Mount Carmel to one of self-pity? And now he feels lonely. And if you stop and see, you can contribute that feeling to feeling sorry for yourself. Now, excuse me. Self-pity leads us to shut ourselves in and others out. And I believe that's what happened in his case. Self-pity, when we start feeling sorry for ourselves, causes us to draw ourselves away from everybody into a little cocoon, so to speak, and don't have any friends in that little pity room we're having. It makes us feel sorry for our own selves, and that only makes us grow lonelier in our life. So loneliness grows self-pity. We need to realize that. Now, also, I see in Elijah's case, self-sufficiency. The Bible talks about him. He says, I'm alone by myself. All the other servants are prophets are being killed. There's nobody left but me. And he thinks of all the things he's done. You see, when we are self-sufficient, what does that do? It enthrones ourselves and dethrones God. And when we dethrone God out of our life and think we're something of ourselves, then we fall into that self-sufficiency category. So self-pity, I believe, led Elijah to fall in that category of self-sufficiency, where he dethroned God in his own life. Now, it doesn't mean he didn't love God and didn't follow God. It just means at this time he has dethroned God in his life and enthroned himself. Who had stopped the rain? It was God. Who had taken over at Mount Carmel? It was God. Who had raised a widow's son? It was God. And who had taken care of Elijah during the drought? It was God. God was still on the throne. And yet he doesn't see that. He says, I alone am left. All of your others are gone. They're dead. But God is still on the throne. Even if we're the only one left, God is still on the throne. He's not gone anywhere. He's still the same God that won the victory at Mount Carmel. But being alone here, wallowing in self-pity in his own life, Elijah doesn't see that God is in control. And he's running from the devil's woman. And all he sees is his situation or his circumstance. I said many times, we're not to be living under our circumstance, we ought to rise above them. And people all the time will tell you, well, how you feeling today? Well, considering the circumstance, you know, well, we're supposed to be living above our circumstances. Our eyes are to be focused on God. And when we get our eyes off of God and onto our situation, then we feel self-pity for ourselves. And we feel like sometimes we're self-sufficient. And no longer we see God on the throne above our circumstances. I hear more and more people saying, I can take care of myself. I can take care of my own. And I've heard that many times. I don't need any help, preacher. Well, that's not true. You do need help. We need God's help. Those same people that say, I don't need any help, I'm doing all right by myself, they're feeling self-pity parties. They're feeling the loneliness of the world crushing in on them. They're feeling that a temptation of the devil to try to make it on their own. And no wonder suicide is on the rise in our nation, because we have left God completely out. And we're dethroning God in every situation in life. And we're thinking of our own self-sufficiency. And when we do that and we leave God out, we see just how wicked the world is. And no wonder our people are turning to drugs. No wonder alcohol is on the rise. You know, I think Brother Perry said in one of our Sunday school classes, now the thing for our young couple, the young couples nowadays, is wine. To go to wine tasting parties and wine sipping parties. You know, that is just of the devil's, you see. And we turn away from God's way of life, and we, you know, I'm sorry to say, but I've heard of church classes going to wine sipping parties. And man, I think, what in the world are we doing? Where have we come from? Where is God in this situation? And folks, you know, we wake up, no wonder we feel sorry for ourselves, and we feel lonely, and we feel out of touch, because we've left God completely out of our life. And if you're going to be lonely, self-pity is one way to get there. And self-sufficiency is another way. God can give you what you need. You don't need all of this other stuff to make you happy. All you need is God in your life. And if we spend more time reading our Bible, more time going to church, more time doing for someone else, we wouldn't have time to feel sorry for ourselves. I tell people all the time, listen, okay, I know you're lonely, I know you are hurting, but don't pull away from your church. You see? Don't pull away from God. Don't pull away from the ones that love you and will pray for you. And you know what? It happens time after time again. They pull away from God's church. And then another thing, if you look at this, not only self-pity and self-sufficiency, I see idleness. Idleness. Boy, I tell you what, that kills a lot of people. We become dull when there's nothing to do. Amen? As long as people have got something to do, boy, they can be happy in that if they're doing it for someone else. It hasn't been long since Elijah had won this great victory. Hadn't been long since he prayed down fire from heaven and won that victory over all the pagan forces, and the people cried, Elijah's God is our God. But now he's hiding down by a tree, and he's praying for God to let him die. You see? Let me die. I am left. And God exposes Elijah's real problem by asking, what are you here for, Elijah? Or what doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing sitting under this tree? And he says, you know, Lord, I'm the only one left, and they're seeking to kill me. That wasn't right at all, was it? What was I, even I, doing here? That was it. He wasn't doing a thing at all. What the famine and the armies couldn't do, sitting under that tree, feeling self-pity and self-sufficient and idleness, did. It stole his victory. It stole his very walk with God, so to speak. Folks, when we are idle, you know, when we do nothing, we're not going anywhere. Amen? You're just sitting there. And when you sit there, what happens? Well, the old devil begins to work on your mind. The devil feeds you all kinds of lies. People will say all the time, I think, I've had people that say, you know, people up there at the church don't like me. They're talking about me. And I said, why should they be talking about you? Are you that important? What makes you think I would pick you out of a crowd and preach to just you? No, that's not it at all. If you're feeling like somebody's talking about you, it's probably the old devil feeding you that mind. You ought to get your mind on the things of God. Get your mind in the gear to help do something for God. You see, people don't talk about other people so much. Not in this church. If it is, it's usually good. Or if it's the men, it's probably in a joking way. They kid each other all the time. But how do you conquer that loneliness? How do people overcome that loneliness? Let me tell you four things. Ask yourself this question. Is my loneliness my own fault? That's a good question to ask. Am I lonely because of self-pity, self-sufficiency, or idleness? Am I just doing nothing? You see, ask yourself that. If you're lonely, why are you lonely? Are you sitting there feeling sorry for yourself? Let me tell you something. If you're here tonight and you're better off than most of the world, if you want to see loneliness, you want to see feel sorry for yourself, go to a third world country. And you watch those little kids try to dig their food out of a garbage pail. You see, we're not doing bad at all. You have everything that life offers you. You got a nice warm house. I don't know anybody in here don't have a nice warm house. On a cold night, you can turn up the heat. On a hot day, you can turn on the air conditioning. You see, you ought not feel sorry for yourself there. On a bad day, you'll have enough to eat. Plenty. Our animals, our dogs, do better than most people in the world. You know, we spend more money than most people in the world buying, like I said this morning, things to impress people that you don't even like. They don't even care. So stop feeling sorry for yourself. Ask yourself, am I the reason I'm lonely? Loneliness cannot be overcome until we recognize the part that we play in it. You see, Elijah was playing his own part in the loneliness. Remember to count your blessings. I love that song. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. And folks, we got all kinds of blessings in our life. You know, an eye that looks at beauty and good whenever it can is be found will not wallow in self-pity very long. You know, I was out somewhere the other day and I saw a fellow. He looked like he was really hungry. He looked like he was really hungry. And he was having a hard time. And you know, I thought, you know, somebody ought to care for that guy. And God told me, he said, why don't you care for him? See, we can do that. We can do that. God is at work in every soul. He's there in every soul. Every person wants to know that somebody cares for him. So listen, the next time you're feeling sorry for yourself, look around and see if there's somebody that you can't help. You see, in Christ we live And in Christ we move. And you know what, Elijah? He ran fast to get away from that woman. And he thought he'd hid himself from everything. But let me tell you something. You can run as fast and as far as you want to, but you can't outrun God. And when you get to where you think you're hid, you'll find God there if you just look at it. You'll find God. And remember something else. God has sent you on a mission. Remember that God sends us to do things. God used Elijah in a mighty way. And Jesus said, I read it this morning, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. And Jesus knew what it meant to be lonely, folks. Remember? He knew what it was to be lonely. Jesus Christ prayed before Calvary's cross. And what did his disciples do? They slept. See, he knew what it was to be lonely. And if we look at Jesus' life, you can see that he was being tried before the mob. And where was his disciples? They all left him. He was willing to go up Calvary's hill in that awful act of beating and spitting and hollering, yet no one of his disciples was with him. And you see Jesus as he hangs upon that cross, and you hear him say, Father, why have you forsaken me? Don't you know that he was lonely in that part? And yet we see Jesus Christ says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was thinking not of himself all the time of the loneliness on his heart. He was thinking of those people that did him wrong. Folks, we can overcome that loneliness if we'll just see people as God sees them. And oh, the glory of God when Jesus stands before his disciples after the resurrection and says, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Folks, we've got a mission from God. God has sent us. That's our business, to go into all the world, into homes that people are feeling lonely, into lives that people are feeling blue, that may be all alone. If you're feeling lonely, get out and go to a nursing home. And just go by and visit some people. You don't even have to know them, you know? I went by the mother's the other day, and, you know, she'd fell and bruised her face up and everything like that. And she don't know who I am, really. She knows every once in a while that I'm her boy. And it's just according to what days it is. But last time that I went by there, she was feeling pretty good. And not yesterday, but the time before that. And she remembered me. And she grabbed me by the arm and said, and I said, what do you want? She said, come on. And so I did. You know what she did? She led me over to the piano and said, play. And you know, I thought, she wants me to play a tune for her. So I just started sitting there playing a little bit. And guess what? Before I knew it, there was 15 or more elderly, I don't say old people, elderly people standing there singing the songs that I was playing. How Great Thou Art, Amazing Grace. And you know what? I saw smiles on their faces. And for a little bit of time, that loneliness was gone. You see, that loneliness was gone. That's just a simple little thing. It's a minor thing, but oh, it makes people happy. You go into a nursing home, sitting down with some old fellow that hasn't had a visit, and just saying, can I pray with you? Talk to them about Jesus. That's why you're there. They're not going anywhere. They're there. They're captive. Ladies, you can do the same thing with a lady. Or, you know, you can go into a room and just sit there and talk to them a minute and be on your way. But, oh, the joy that that makes. That's our business. That's what God has said to do. And it breaks up that idleness in your life. I hear people all the time say, "Preacher, I'm just so tired of not being able to do nothing." Why can't you do something? See, we've got to realize the problem we have is right here. We can do whatever we want to do. You see? If we'll just do it. If you're housebound, and we have housebound people, they can call. That telephone's there. I say, just pick it up and call somebody. And said, "I was thinking about you. I want to pray with you." Pray with them over the phone. Folks, that is our business. And remember, there is something to do. The scripture says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it." And I think if you start doing those things, you'll find that life is worth living. It doesn't stop just because we get a little old. It doesn't stop. Loneliness is conquered when we find something to do for others. Now, that's a remedy for loneliness. That's a remedy for self-pity. That's a remedy for self-sufficiency. Find something to do for others. Escape. God says, "Elijah, get up. Go stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the rocks into pieces before God. But the Lord was not in that, but he was in a still, small voice." We know the scripture. You're not alone, Elijah. You're not alone. I am still in control. You've got many more days to work, to labor. Folks, we're not alone in this thing. God has given us a job to do. Let's do it. And if you're lonely here tonight, I thought to myself, I don't know why I'm preaching on loneliness. Most people may not be alone, but you know what? I feel like some that are here need to be here to hear this. Don't get lonely. Don't get shut in. Don't feel sorry for yourself. God is still on the throne. Get busy for God. Do the work that he's called us to do. Pick up your phone, pick up your get your keys in your car and go see somebody. Tell them that you miss them at church. You know, there's no reason we can't do that. Knock on somebody's door and visit them. Invite somebody over to have coffee with you. Or meet them at the restaurant and have coffee with you. Do something. That keeping ourselves busy keeps us from having a self-pity party. And also it blesses others, and it's what Jesus asked us to do. Love one another. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your blessings. I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the people in this church. Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to bless us and guide us as we go from here tonight. And Lord, let us do what you'd ask us to do. Call somebody. Lift somebody up that may be discouraged. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.